We come to you on this day giving all honor and praise to Almighty God, for He's certainly the head of my life, me and mine. And recognizing my pulpit, my associates, Brother McMillan, Brother Riley, my beautiful, beautiful wife, and my lovely church family. It's an honor, a privilege, and an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility to stand before you and profess the Word of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Holy Ghost, fall fresh on me as I submit.
Yes, sir.
Take complete control. Move me out of myself, Lord, and any preconceived notions that I may have, Lord God, just replace them with you, Lord.
Yes.
Take charge. Do with me what you wish, Lord, but speak a word, Lord, for someone is in dire need of a word, Lord. Use me.
Yes.
Any way that you see fit, Lord, use me, Lord. But move me way, way, way behind the cross, Lord God, for we desire only to see you. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. For someone is listening. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. For until you come, there's nothing we can do. Call on you, Lord. I count on you.
Yes.
Have your way in this place, in this vessel, on this day.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Bless your name.
I've been preaching all day, started in Sunday school.
All right.
Y'all gave me too much time off. I haven't preached in 2 weeks. I don't know the last time it's been since I've gone 2 weeks without preaching.
Wow.
But I've been with the Lord for 2 weeks. I told him in Sunday school this morning, I didn't know what to do with the Sunday school lesson because I knew it well. Way ahead, I read it 2 weeks ago. And I've been reading it all ever since. So I knew the lesson. I could almost dictate the pages without, before I go there, I knew where they were at in the book. So I just read it carefully.
All right.
So I'm full today. I'm not going to keep you, but so long. Some of the rabbit mic, you grab on the. If you have to, pull my. But it's been a while. I want you to turn with me this morning in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. And we had read for you this morning the verses 10 through 20, which speak of the universal depravity and guilt of mankind. So what a wicked being, what a wicked heart we have.
Yes.
Full of depravity and guilt. I want to pick up at verse 21 and read a few verses there for you. Verse 21 says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Well,
being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus.
Yes.
Justified by his grace. And then, in keeping with the tone of things that we had in Sunday school, the theme in Sunday school was entering God's kingdom. Verse 13 and 14 from chapter 7 of Matthew reads, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many that be which go thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And I want to use as a topic today, mitigating the risk of sin. Mitigating the risk of sin. Word for the day is mitigate. Mitigating the risk of sin. You know, when I first started preaching, first assignment as a pastor, I guess I had been there for, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, and there's this old preacher up the street from my church. He had a big church up the street from the church that I was pastor of. And it was one Sunday I was there, and he asked me, he said, "Son, what have you been preaching about since you took over that church down there?" I said, I didn't understand his question, to be honest. Okay. And so I responded to him, and I started telling him the titles of some of the sermons that I had spoken on, the topics. And he looked at me and he said, "Wow." He said, "You know, most preachers only have one sermon." And I still didn't understand it. And then I got a niece that's, she's also a preacher. Every time I would run into her preaching, and that was over the course of the next couple of years, and every time I'd tell her what I preached on, no matter what my topic was, she would always say, "You know, you always preach on faith." And I ain't quite understand her, because I speak from a whole lot of different. But then it became crystal clear to me as I continued my journey that what else is there to preach about?
All right.
Man has a problem.
Yes.
God has already provided a solution.
Yes. Well.
Do you believe that?
Yes, indeed.
Then there's only one thing, faith. I don't care how you twist it and how you turn it. And what it comes down to is faith in God.
Yes.
Jesus is the way. And the more I realized that, I found that I'm in pretty good company too. If you look at Paul in his second letter to the Corinthians, he says, "For I am determined not to know
anything
among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Paul said, "I didn't come with excellency of speech. I don't know that many fancy words and terms, but he said, I came to you declaring the testimony of God."
Yes.
Might not be able to tell you what you want to hear, but I can tell you who God is because I met him on the Damascus Road. That's all I know.
Well,
it's him and him crucified. That's all. I know that. That's anything else I say, but that's all I can give you.
All right. Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Determined not to know anything. It seems to me that Paul was saying that I'm not concerned with how people receive or perceive what I say or do.
All right.
My only concern is that I'm right with God and that when I say and what I do is right with him, and that as long as I got my seat reserved in the kingdom, then it's all right with me. If I got my seat reserved in Sunday school this morning, one of the things that the Sunday school lesson pointed out, it said, don't get too concerned about how many people gonna make it to heaven. How many people on the right road. He said, just be sure that you are on the right road. Heading in the right direction and ultimately arriving at the right destination. You see, sin is inevitable. It's certain to happen. It's unavoidable.
Yes.
But faith is how we overcome it.
Yes.
So we got one singular and ultimate objective, and that objective should be to enter God's kingdom. It's my desire that I'm going to enter God's kingdom. That's the singular objective that we should have, that I make it to God's kingdom. As Sister Williams like to say, that she makes it to her cloud, that nothing else really matters. One goal, one singular goal that requires two actions.
All right now.
Straight is the gate. So you gotta go through the gate.
Yes, sir.
But then you got to stay on the path. You see, too many people get it all tangled up. They think that when I go to the straight gate, it means that I'm in heaven and that I can lay down and rest, that I've made it through. But you got to go through the gate to get to the path.
Yes, all right.
And then they tell me that that path is, it's a difficult and trying way. It's not easy. Even when you went through the gate, you chose the right gate, but now you got to walk the path. You got to walk that walk and talk that talk.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
You See, the gates are not our final destination. It's just the choice of the road that you decide to travel. Haven't arrived. Going through the gates. See, going through the gate neither seals nor assures your destination. Because sin can cause you to fall short. Or you can repent and change directions. You might have went in that gate that led to destruction, but then on the road you changed your mind and you repented and you decided to go to the straight gate.
All right.
Key word today is mitigate. Mitigating. You see, everybody would touch eternity. Mm-hmm. Did you hear me say? Everybody's going to touch eternity. But not all will find God waiting there to welcome you. And there's one way that's the wrong way that will touch eternity, and you will have eternal damnation.
All right.
But you're going to touch eternity. Mm-hmm. You're going to be somewhere forever. If you know somebody don't know that, you better tell them so they'll be aware that you're going to spend eternity somewhere. So the first question before us today is, what is it that stands between us and God's kingdom? Another way of saying it is, what's the risk of me missing my final destination? What's my risk? See, the trouble is sin. The trials of this world will get in your way, and no matter which road you may take off on, if you're not careful, sin will get in your way.
All right.
So I want to use a business analogy. In business, they got what they call risk mitigation. And what risk mitigation is trying to take some steps. Business owners in here can attest to that. You're trying to take some steps to reduce your adverse effects. There's four types of risk mitigation strategies that business use. Because what they're trying to do is to keep the operation flowing. And if they have setbacks, they want to know how to recover. They got to mitigate their risk. How do I manage my risk? So as Christians, then what we got to do is figure out how to mitigate our risk of sin coming in on our life. How do we reduce the risk? In business, this is four ways of mitigating risk. You got risk acceptance. You got risk limitation. You got risk transference. And then finally, you got risk avoidance. Y'all stay with me. You see, our risk is sin. So that's our problem. How do we deal with sin. What can sin cause to happen? The first problem with sin, the first risk of sin is sin creates a desire for more. Stay with me here. Mm-hmm. See, the more you sin, the more you want to sin. This is a big risk. I'ma just do this. So creates the desire for more sin. In the case of the unsaved, 1 Corinthians 2:14 puts it like this. It says, but people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. But then there are some of us who are saved and we entered in at the straight gate. Ephesians handled those. Ephesians 4:18 says, but their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. Creates sin. First risk is it creates her desire for more. You know what scriptures before us in Romans said, as it is written, there is none righteous.
No, not one.
Not one. There is none that understandeth. Somebody said in Sunday school that I boggles my mind. And so if this journey don't bother your mind, you better check the road that you own, because
that's bad.
Romans says there's none that seeketh after God. It's not easy when you're chasing God. Every thing, time you think I did it right and I'm almost right and I'm better than I ever been.
Yeah.
And God says, not good enough. He says, because you can step it up. You can bring it a little higher. Unless there's some in here that's already there and can't go no higher. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Not a ride.
They're all gone out of the way. They are together, become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one.
No, not one.
Their throat is an open sepulchre, and their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asses under their lips, and whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, and destruction and misery are in their way. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Sin creates the desire for more sin. The second risk of sin. You see, sin will result in you reaping
yes
what you sow.
Yes.
Hallelujah. See, some people run into the church because they raise so much sand outside the church, and they're going to run into church to get cover. But I got news. God says, I welcome you. And you enter the straight gate and you're on the right road, but you will reap what you sow.
Yes, Lord.
Galatians 6 and 7 said, don't be misled. Mm-hmm. You cannot mark the justice of God. You will always reap what you have sown.
Oh, yes.
We'll look around and we'll see people and we'll think that I should be glad when he gets his. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's just me. But you don't have to worry, because God will not be mocked. He said, you will reap what you have sown.
Yes.
Our text, Romans 3:21 says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, mm-hmm. even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Mm-hmm. For there is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've done the wrong thing, mm-hmm. you will reap. The third risk of sin will end with death and eternal separation from God. Mm-hmm. Somebody said, Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death.
All right.
That's the Lord's word. That's not my word. That's the Lord's word. So we got the risk of sin, which leads us to the second question that is before us. How do we mitigate the risk of sin so that we can ascertain our destination? The word today is mitigate. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you an acronym for that word. Most important thing is God and touching eternity. Most important thing is God and touching eternity. Mitigate. Mitigate to make less severe or less serious or less painful, to lessen the gravity of something. So we want to mitigate the risk of arriving at the right destination. I'm determined to see Jesus, and I want to do everything I can. I want to mitigate my risk of sin. I want to be able to stay on this right road and to make sure I make it in. Got a decision.
Well,
between two ways. And the Bible says, enter ye at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go therein, thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. There be few that find it. Mitigate the risk of sin. I won't be here long. I just want to point out three categories of Christians on this journey as we try to mitigate our risk of sin. When I go back to the business model, the first thing was risk acceptance. You see, that's what the carnal Christian does. The carnal Christian takes risk acceptance, right? He said, I'll take my chances. The chances of me ending up in hell, I figure, is slim. So I'll take my chances. I will accept the risk. You see, when you take risk acceptance, that does not reduce any of the effects of sin. And it's not really a strategy at all. It just says, I will take my chances. A carnal Christian. And then, a second category, I like to call them just regular church folk. And see, what regular church folk do, they combine two of the methods. They combine risk limitation. You see, risk limitation, that's the most common management strategy that businesses use. Because, you see, when you take risk limitation and say, I'm going to just do some things to try to, such as I'm going to attend Sunday school. I'm going to attend church. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pay my tithe. I'm going to do some things that limit my risk. I'm going to sing in the choir. Regular church folk. And they also use risk transference. The devil made me do it. That woman you gave me, Reverend Max said. Pastor said, my parents didn't raise me right. You don't know what kind of life I had. You don't know what I went through. You don't know what my life was like back then. You just don't know. So that's why I'm like I am. Society. Everybody doing it. I'm better than most people. I'm just doing as the rest of them do. I'm transferring my risk. That's the way regular church folk do it. But then there's the last group, the true disciples of Christ. And what they want to do is avoid all risk. The disciples try to avoid all risk. Of course, that's just the opposite of risk, accepting it. It said, I want to remove all chances as much as I can. I want to mitigate. I want to break it to lessen and make it better chance that I will get there. Romans 6:23. The first part said, for the wages of sin is death. Mm-hmm. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Mm-hmm. I need a little more Jesus.
Yeah.
When things get tough, I just need
a little bit more.
Jesus. Romans says, verse 24 says, being
justified.
I'm a sinner, but I'm saved by his blood. I'm a sinner, but I'm covered in the blood. I'm a sinner. I made the wrong move, but I'm going back to Jesus. I'm on the right road now.
I'm on the right road.
And if I'm determined to hold his hand, if I'm determined to see Jesus, then I'm on this right road, and I'm mitigating my risk of missing my final destination. I'm going to just hold on to Jesus. Every time I lose my way, I'm going to hold tight to Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to mitigate my risk. I'm going to get as sure as I can get on this side. Somebody brought it up in Sunday school, but as sure as I can get on this side is how I get close to Jesus. If I get lost in him, if I get lost in Jesus, then I've mitigated. I've made as much as I can do.
Yes.
And the rest is up to him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. A disciple. I'm going to leave a scripture with you, a familiar scripture, a suggestion. I beseech you therefore, brethren, disciples, fellow children of God, by the mercies of God, because he made it available to you. He made this way. Jesus is the way. So I suggest that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy.
Yes.
Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable. So that's all that I can do.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And be not conformed to this world. No matter how tempting. Reverend Mack said, yield not to temptation. It's all right to be tempted, but don't yield to it. Because when you yield to temptation, that's when you commit sin.
All right, sir.
Be not conform to this word, but be ye transformed. Too many times we lose what God has given us, a mysterious power to overcome, the spirit of the Holy Ghost, which is freely given to us.
Oh, yes, yes.
We shun it. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. My faith is in Jesus.
That's right. That's right.
One thing
is
needed. My faith in him. If I can just assure myself, not the rest of the world, if I can convince me that God's got it all in control, if I can convince me.
Yes, Lord.
He knows what he's doing. When I meet trials and tribulation and I have heavy burdens, but Jesus knows. Mm.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. How much is
that? He knows what I can bear. He went through it all himself. He knows what I'm going through. He knows how much I can handle in my mind. And he knows.
Yes, he does.
Thank you, Jesus.
And if I can just hold on by faith.
Yes.
Faith, the true equalizer,
yes,
mitigates my risk of sin. It makes sure my destination, I don't have to worry about missing the mark if I just hold on to God's unchanging hand.
Yes, Lord.
Complete submission. And once you submit, take up your cross. I'm in the gate. Now I'm on the path.
All right.
But I'm determined.
Determined.
To follow him. Can't nobody do me like Jesus.
Nobody.
You can knock me down. But you can't keep me there. I might keep myself there now. I might wobble in my own pity, but if you knock me down, I got a Jesus that will pick me back up and start me all over again. Do you believe that? Do you believe that no matter what you might go through, that you got a God that can keep you going straight?
Yes, sir, God. Hallelujah.
Faith. That's all that it is. That's all that it is. There ain't nothing else.
Faith.
Reverend Davis, why you preach about faith so much? Because it's all I got.
Yes, sir.
Right.
That's all.
Don't claim to know everything, but I do know Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
Yes, sir, God.
Man.
Mitigating the risk of sin. Be sure that you get in.
Yes, sir.
Don't worry about nobody else.
All right. That's right.
You go speak to them and talk to them and encourage them to go the right way. But when you tell them, you say, can't nobody get you in but you. You got to make a decision. I can't get you to heaven, but I know someone that can.
Yeah.